Well, welcome everybody. Episode 23 of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. And I have a wonderful show today all about public relations and building brand credibility through media exposure with the very famous Monica Rosenfeld. Now, who is Monica? Monica is a business owner and PR expert, speaker and trainer. Monica is the managing director of WordStorm PR, a boutique-sized PR agency she founded in 2000. Monica thrives on magnifying the message of her entrepreneurial-driven and not-for-profit clients through mass media exposure. She's also passionate about demystifying the media through speaking engagements and workshops. In the evening, you can also find her on stages around Sydney performing stand-up comedy. I didn't know you could do that, Monica.
Yes, that's a little hobby of mine I do on the side.
Where do you do that?
Oh, all over the place. I was actually supposed to be performing in Melbourne tonight.
Oh my God, fantastic.
Obviously that's not happening. But yeah, all over like pubs and sort of place, wherever I, whoever will have me on their stage.
That's I love it. That's fantastic. I love it. And do you do that? Are you doing that a bit virtually now as well? Or?
I'm not. A lot of the comedians have gone virtual, but I haven't quite got my head around, you know, trying to do a set into a Zoom screen. I mean, good on them. They're doing a great job, but my headspace hasn't moved into that area yet. Maybe I'm not experienced enough to overcome that challenge, but who knows? I might get there.
Awesome. Well, that's fascinating. Maybe we can do another episode one day on that part of you, because that's fascinating in itself. But today we're going to be chatting all about PR, branding, and media, which is Monica's expertise.
My sweet spot.
Her sweet spot. But before we kind of go into some Q&A, I thought, Monica, give us a little bit of a snapshot into who you are, how you became a PR mogul. Yeah. And love to hear more about that before we jump into some questions.
Okay, awesome. All right, thanks. Well, I guess I started my career in media working in London. I was backpacking, got a job at a media company, making really bad coffee and hanging up jackets. And I ended up getting lucky. The production assistant of this documentary series quit one day, and I literally begged and begged to get a chance to work on this show. Fantastic. I was really young, you know, I was just finished uni and I got that opportunity. So eventually my visa ran out, had to move back to Australia and ended up getting a job at Getaway and then at A Current Affair.
Wow.
And that's where I learned how not to do PR. Right. And the reason I say that is, you know, I had people, marketing managers, you know, business owners, very weird, dodgy neighbors all calling me wanting their story on air but having no idea how to pitch a story to me, and most of the time losing this amazing opportunity because they didn't know what I needed to get the story across the line.
Yep.
What I needed as a producer. So a couple of years in, and after bashing my head against a brick wall a few too many times, I thought, you know what, I can do a better job than this. Like, I know what my colleagues need and want, and I understand the media now, having worked in it for a few years.
Yep.
So I just started my own agency, WordStorm PR.
Fantastic.
That was in the year 2000. I was young, naive, you know, never took a business course or anything. So it's been an interesting journey, a wonderful personal development is what I say, like in business. I always thought business would be about hardcore business, you know, but I found it's been the most amazing personal development course you could ever take,
and without it's just ongoing. Doubt. I couldn't agree with you.
Workshop.
And you're constantly evolving and reinventing yourself and moving with the market.
You've got to look into yourself and face your darkest fears and moments and just overcome. So it's amazing.
Yep.
But anyway, very soon after starting the business, we grew into a boutique size agency. So we've always had around 8 people in our team. At the moment, we're around 6 and we're happy with that number. And for us, it was always very important to work with clients that we felt really passionate about, because my sort of vision statement was, I want to make purpose-driven businesses, dreams come true of helping other people by magnifying their message in the media, because that's my skill set. So as a result, we work with the most amazing entrepreneurial-driven businesses. They're mostly quite developed entrepreneurs, but we do work with some brand new startups, as well as not-for-profits. And we say our clients are living a dream, and sometimes a nightmare, solving a problem and improving the life of their client or customer in some way, shape or form. So when I get a potential client call, these are the three things I'm going through my head to see if they're a good client fit for us. Wow. We don't take on a lot of clients. So our clients are big fish in a small pond and they get looked after like they're part of our family.
I love that. I love that philosophy as well in general. Yeah. Wow. Very, very busy. And as your business has evolved over the years to where it is now, it's like you probably started doing one thing and it kind of, you found your sweet spot.
It has evolved in a way, but unlike a lot of other PR agencies so I started in the year 2000. So in 20 years, a lot has changed.
Yeah.
Blogging wasn't really a thing, or maybe the very early adopters blogging back then. So we have changed and adapted to the times, but unlike a lot of other PR agencies who, when social media reared its head, became everything to everyone, we decided to stick to our core, which is traditional media, being, you know, TV, newspapers, online news sites, which became more and more prominent. We actually did start working on social media content for our clients back in the early days. Yep. However, when it became very technical and all about the advertising side, I sent one of my team members to a course, like a three-day course. A
Facebook ad course or something.
She came back and she said, this is not what we want to be our business about. Yep. Let's just stick to media. And I was like, I'm happy with that.
Yep.
So we have adapted and evolved and changed. But I think our key point of difference is we focus on getting our clients in mainstream media. We do work with influencers every now and then when the campaign needs it, but we're all about developing the trust and credibility of our client's brand through mass media exposure.
Awesome. And I love that. That's fascinating because there's so much hype and buzz around social media. I mean, I love social media. That's what I do. But it's almost like the analogy between email and direct mail.
There's so
much email out there that actually a direct mail campaign can work.
Yeah.
So it's funny you mentioned social media versus traditional media.
Exactly. It's really funny you mentioned that, because when I'm talking to audiences, because I give a lot of keynote presentations and workshops, and what I always say to the audience is, put up your hand if, you know, your competitors are putting time, money and effort into social media, and everyone puts up their hand. And then I say, that's brilliant. They need to keep doing that. And so do you. It's very important.
Yep.
But now put up your hand if your competitors, or if you know any of your competitors that is actually making the effort to be that go-to media spokesperson for their industry and consistently appearing on the TV shows, and anywhere else, commenting on their on the industry and their business. And no one puts up their hand. And then I sort of say, well, there is a whole space for you to claim and it's there for the taking.
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you go out and take it? Especially once I start demystifying the process for them, because I'm very passionate about demystifying the media and showing people that you don't have to be a celebrity. You don't need a brain surgery degree. It's very common sense. It's just a few practical tips. And anyone can get themselves in the media.
In the media. And I suppose that's what we're going to talk about today, because everybody probably jumps to social media because they think it's a low barrier to entry.
Yeah.
And they it's traditional media. How am I going to get on Channel 7 or Channel 9 or Channel 10 or a current affair? Exactly. But that's exactly what you do. You specialize in helping people pitch stories so they can actually get interest from traditional media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the way... Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So kind of wanted to just take a step back before we go into that, but we've kind of touched on that, but PR, public relations, what does it actually mean? There's a million definitions these days. What does it mean?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
public relations, it's really, if you look at it literally, it's about the way you relate to your public, or that the public perceives you. So there are a lot of definitions, and there are lots of different agencies out there specializing in different facets of public relations. So some are all about lobbying the government for certain things. Others are about curating your brand through content creation. Yeah. The way it's defined in my business is helping you magnify your message through mainstream media. But none of the agencies are right or wrong, and some do all of it. Yeah. If you look at public relations as a wheel, there's lots of different spokes to it. Similar as if you look to marketing as a wheel, PR would be one of the spokes. If you look at PR as a wheel, you know, media exposure would be just one of the spokes. You know, gotcha. Influencer outreach would be another, and there'd be many others. Yeah. So from the way I look at it, it's about media exposure, but there's a lot more to it than that. But that's what I focus on.
Exactly. I mean, we don't even need to get really too in-depth with the definitions or the words or the semantics. It's what the outcome is that's most important.
Exactly.
What do you want to do? You want to get your message across. You've got a couple of ways. Traditional media is one of them, and that's where you specialize. Yeah. Simple as that. So obviously we've touched on traditional media versus social media, but I want to just talk a little bit more about if people want to get themselves and pitch themselves or their story to traditional media.
Yes.
What should they do? How should they go about that process?
Okay. All right. I've got a few newsworthy angles that I'd like to share that we hang our clients' expertise on.
Right.
And it makes it instantly newsworthy to a journo because we're giving the journalists the information in the way they want to receive it.
Yep.
First thing to keep in mind is that all journalists care about is producing content that will add value to and engage their audience. So if you can show them why your information does this and in the right way, you've got a good chance of getting noticed.
Right.
So the first one would be tips, like let's say top five tips about something. So for instance, you also work in recruitment, so you could come up with tips on so many angles within recruitment or myths or things you didn't know about or fallacies or whatever it is. So top five ways to make a good first impression, top five ways, make your CV look good. Top five seasons where certain industries are looking. So everyone listening out there who owns a business is an expert in their field. Yeah. And could come up with, I would love to challenge you to come up with 20 different lists, top five.
Yep.
Journos love receiving information like this because it's bite-sized, digestible information that, you know, their audience gets value very quickly and, you know, can often read the article while sitting, you know, well, not now, but sitting in the train or
sitting
on the couch. Yeah. So that's one, and it's a really good one. Another one is awareness day. So there's an awareness day for just about every single topic, every day, week, and month of the year.
Gotcha.
And some are very obvious, like, you know, we all know about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and a lot of us know about, you know, Earth Hour and things like that. But there's a lot of more obscure ones that you can sort of tie your content into. But you can think outside the square. So for instance, I'll give you an example. In August, in the first week of August in Australia, it's Sleep Awareness Week.
Oh, really?
So a lot of content in the media is about sleep and the importance of sleep. But we have a client who's a leadership expert. So she really is an amazing woman and works with a lot of the top C-suite people within huge organizations. And one of the things she works on with them is helping their sleep patterns because that helps with leadership.
Wow.
So we got her on TV and several other media outlets talking about the importance of sleep to being a good leader. So you can see from that example, you can just try and tie things in.
Yeah.
But a more obvious example, you know, it was New South Wales Seniors Week earlier this year. Our client is the director of a global aged care franchise. So we got him on TV talking about how the elderly can prevent social isolation and top five ways they can do this. So sometimes these angles can be combined. You know, you've got an awareness day and then you provide the tips. Another one is case studies. So journos love telling the story through the people who are experiencing it instead of you saying, oh, I'm so amazing. We do this and we change our clients' lives. They want to speak to the client who says, oh, I was destitute. You know, I was ready to, you know, top myself and then this business came along or whatever.
It goes back to that storytelling. Everybody wants a story.
It's all about the story. And we want to, journo's key role is to engage the audience. And there's no better way to engage the audience through human interest stories. Yep. And that's why kind of reality TV does so well, because we love watching, you know, people's journeys and, you know, we love watching the train wreck as well. but they more and more, they really want case studies. So the other night we got our client Home Instead Senior Care on the project because they've now started up this pen pal initiative whereby people can write letters and kids write letters and they give it to the elderly. So they spoke to a few of the elderly people who were getting the letters on TV. They read out their letters and started crying. They spoke to the kids who were writing the letters. And then they spoke to Home Instead, who initiated the whole program. So kudos to them. But it just wouldn't have been the same story, and they probably wouldn't have even done it if we couldn't have offered them, you know, real people who were involved in the project. So when it comes to case studies, think about your raving fans. Think about the clients that you've made a huge difference to. And the more human interest their story has, the better. And then talk to them about whether they'd be willing to help others by sharing their story. A lot of times our clients say, oh, yeah, we've got a lot of happy clients. Case studies will be no problem. And then I say, that's true, but how many of them would be willing to have their picture taken on a mainstream media website or on TV, or interviewed on TV? And then a whole lot of those
dwindles,
just fade away. So that's case studies. Then you've got statistics. So journos love a good stat because it makes the story look newsworthy and like they've done some research.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't have to invest $5,000-$10,000 in some complicated survey. You need one good stat. So we were working with a small suburban dental practice in Melbourne, like tiny. And we thought of the angle of dental, the fear of going to the dentist. So we knew that this is what people grapple with. If people are grappling with it, media want to talk about. So we just did a very simple survey, just with MailChimp, to find out how many people are so scared of going to the dentist they haven't been in in 5 years. We got it like something like a third of Australians are in this category, ran with that story, and our small little suburban dentist was in all mainstream media for the next 3 weeks.
Wow, they had to get new offices, they had to expand.
Yeah. So just by going off this issue and one little stat. And the reason it was relevant for the dentist is that he offers dental procedures under general anaesthetic. And we combined it with a case study to get them on TV. So one of their patients was in the situation, her gums were a mess. She was a real estate agent, couldn't smile because it was full of rotten teeth. He gave her this procedure and she was so delighted that she was just on TV talking about how she's got a new lover now and how life is amazing.
Love it.
So, yeah, so case studies are really good. And then the last angle that I'll provide today that people can hang their story on is thought leadership. So this is where you demonstrate your expertise about something. So this is, if you think of the analogy, you're on your soapbox in Hyde Park or wherever you might live, in the central place where those kind of people hang out.
Yep.
And you're like giving your opinion, you know, about it. So
outside town hall, yep.
Yeah. So this is where you're giving a strong opinion or any kind of opinion or expertise around something that you know so well and back to front in the media. So right now it could be like people who, futurists, who have a very strong opinion about what's going to be happening in the business world post COVID-19. Yep. I mean, it would have been nice for them to tell us about it, you know, a few months ago. Thank you.
That's right.
where was your futurist skills then?
Exactly.
But anyway, so that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay, fantastic. So that's obviously about content. That's the strategy about building content to make sure that your story or what you're going to bring to the media is going to be well received.
Yes.
But if people actually have a story or they have a content or have content, what do they do? Do they go to a PR agency or do they go straight to the media or both?
Oh, you know what? They can do either. So you can go to the media yourself and get your story. And I'll tell you how to do this. Well, besides I've given you the content ideas, but the way to think about it is which media would you really like to be in? So from a business magazine point of view, or business media, do you really want to be in AFR? Do you want to be in Business Insider, Smart Company, SMH? Which are those titles you want to be in? Yeah. Create a long list of those titles. Start getting familiar with those publications, and you'll start to notice that their content has themes, that these journals write about certain topics all the time.
Yep.
And from that, you'll start to recognize that you can fit your topic in to suit what they talk about and the style that they talk about. So become familiar with those publications is step number one. Okay. Step number two is research the journals that write the stories where you see your story fitting. Okay. It's very easy. They're all on their, let's say we're talking about business publications online and print. It's all there. Like you can see who writes the stories.
Yeah. So, well, it'll be on LinkedIn as well, I'm sure.
And half the time they've got their email address there as well.
Right,
so yeah. Write down their names, write down their email address, become clear on your angle. Is it a stat? Is it a tips? Is it a thought leadership piece? Is it a case study?
Gotcha.
Don't put all these angles in one pitch.
That's a mixed bag.
And then reach out to them. The headline, the subject in the email should be, the headline of what your story is. And when you think about the headline, think about if they were to write a story on your topic, what headline do you think they would use to get their audience's attention?
Gotcha.
Because that's how journos are looking at the headline, thinking, "Yep, my audience will want to know about that," and then they keep reading.
Yeah, you're almost pitching them the same way you pitch the audience.
Exactly, because they're pitching to the audience. Like for them, it's all about the audience engaging. So it's they're doing the same thing, just second along.
Gotcha.
And have a go. So people out there, just give it a go. What really will motivate you is once you start getting some success. You know, it's a bit like, anything like LinkedIn or any sort of social media. Initially, I know for me at least, it was like clunky and, oh, can I really be bothered? But when I started getting clients from it, I was like, hello, now I'm interested. So it's kind of the same with media. Once you start getting some traction, you become totally addictive and you see that it's accessible. The difference between doing it yourself and coming to an agency like us, WordStorm PR, is that if you do it yourself, you'll likely get a bite or two and you'll be in the media, depending on how busy you are, of course, and how much time you have to put to this. You know, you'll probably get in a year, two, three, maybe four articles, which is awesome.
Yeah.
If we do it, we're looking at getting that in the first month, if not more.
Wow.
So it's putting it on steroids essentially, and you don't have to worry about it because we're doing it all for you.
And you try and elongate that exposure as well for as long as you can.
Well, we want a lot of our clients. The goal is to make them the go-to media spokespeople for their industry. So we're working with them consistently. So we put together a plan outlining the different angles we'll work on each month. It's not set in stone because we're reactive to the media, but we're plotting out a plan to consistently go to the media, a whole range of media with different angles.
Gotcha.
We also work on projects where we can do this stuff one-off as well.
Okay.
But a lot of our clients have been set up as that go-to media expert.
Perfect. Fascinating. And there's a whole hidden world that I didn't really know much about, but it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And when you think about it and you break it down,
Yeah.
Logical and step by step, just like anything else.
Exactly. And what I try and express to audiences is that when I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to audience now, listen to what I've just said and take this information when you're consuming media. So don't just consume media in a passive sense, but look at it from a business owner point of view and thinking, which angle did that journal go with there? How could my content fit into that? Just start looking at the media from an opportunistic point of view rather than just kicking back and, you know, passing a few, you know, or passing the time.
Awesome. And have you found that certain industries or certain specialities are better suited to mainstream media, traditional media versus social, or is it really just about how you execute the strategy?
I don't think so. I think if you're an expert in your field, you're perfectly suited to mainstream and social.
Okay.
What I want to point out is it's not one against the other, and quite often we work very closely and it works together. I'll give you the perfect example of this. We had a client, it's actually a social enterprise, which was evolved out of a business, event-based business, Retail Global, who suddenly went quiet because no events can be held. Phil, the CEO, had a brainwave of he wanted to do something with this time, his team's time to help. He created Frontliners, which is a social enterprise, got all his great connections in the retail industry. They're all contributing products and creating care packages that's being sent to Frontliners and the medical teams.
Amazing.
So we got them, and we've been doing pro bono PR work for them. That's one of the ways we're keeping busy and useful while, you know, some of our clients are on pause. And we got them a 6-minute interview on Weekend Today Show 2 weeks ago, which was like 3 days after they launched. Now, the Today Show put the clip on their Facebook page from where it went completely viral.
Wow.
So within 24 hours, it had something like 90,000 shares. And I don't know where it's at now. I have to have a look. But, like, you can't get that kind of traction. I don't care how good your social media is. And I know you're brilliant at this stuff, Darren. But, you know, the power of a
massive... Say that again, Monica. Say that.
You're brilliant at social media, definitely. But, yeah, the power of a sort of mainstream TV network is very powerful.
Indeed. And I just love that. I mean, why limit yourself to one when you can have both?
Yeah, exactly. And then
do it all.
You know, it's about credibility. So you get your media, you push that through your social channels,
yep.
And also backlinks. We always try and get backlinks for our clients. So your page ranking instantly lifts, you know, when you're on a high page ranking news site like news.com.au or any of them, really.
Fascinating. And I mean, not to go into the way you charge or rates and things, but is media expensive, or are there different ways to do it?
Like a typical agency my size and my, you know, level or whatever, we generally for a sort of go-to media expert campaign, which is an initial 12-month campaign with a 6-month sort of initial phase, costs around $5,500 a month.
Okay.
So if you're looking at it from a marketing spend, like depending on the turnover of your business and X percent goes into marketing, you're looking at sort of between $60,000 and $70,000 if you are to do it consistently and become that go-to media expert. A project, so a shorter, fast project can be 1 or 2 months, and we price that at $7,500. So the goal is to get a few great clippings that you can use now to put on your website and increase the credibility of your brand straight away. So that's sort of a boutique-sized agency like mine. You've got much larger agencies who will charge anything 10 plus, 20 plus, and God knows how much. It makes me cry if I see that, because half the time their results aren't nearly as good as ours. And I say that because we've used plenty of clients who've used theirs, a bigger service, and I'm not going to go into that. And then you've got freelancers out there, freelance PR practitioners who will likely charge more like $2,500 a month. They're sort of one man or woman bands, and they're usually trying to juggle, you know, several campaigns at once.
Gotcha.
But usually, you know, a lot of them do a very good job as well.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, look, if you do it properly, you can get an incredible return on investment very quickly, and it can be very worth your while.
Yes, it can.
It's just about, yeah, as long as you have the budget and you have the story and you have the hook, then why not?
Yes.
And if people want to choose a PR agency,
yeah,
they don't want to go freelance, they don't want to go really big possibly.
Yeah.
Where do they start? What do they do?
I would say it's similar to choosing any sort of supplier. I would select, firstly, maybe ask your network if they can refer, because that's always good to get referrals. Secondly, jump online and type in www.wordstormpr.com. No, just joking.
www.wordstormpr.
I'm joking. No, so do a bit of Google searching and just see what resonates with you. So I'm just using my website as an example. We are really communicating our brand values through our website of being very down to earth, not too cool for school, just very real and relatable. And when I have potential clients calling me from the website, they say to me, I saw all these PR agency websites. I called you because you just seem very genuine, authentic, down to earth, and not all fluff and bells and whistles like some of your competitors. Yeah. And they're the sort of clients we want to work with. Yeah. Whereas the PR agencies with the bells and whistles might want to work with those sorts of clients. So that's fine. But meet with them. So after you've been attracted to the website, and it's a lot about personal relationships. So you will have a natural affinity to just some personalities and some people more than others. So the clients we work with, we become friends and we get on famously because we're the same people.
Yeah.
Because they resonated with us and the way we work and our team and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's more like a gut instinct thing. And then I would say, you know, ask to speak to some of their clients, because just like with case studies, I can tell you till I'm blue in the face how amazing we are and the results we'll get you and how we treat our clients like they're part of our family. But who better to tell you than our clients?
Yep.
Because they've got nothing to gain, except for a box of lovely chocolates for me, if that would be nice. A good wrap. So that's what I would say. And then I would say don't sign up to a long-term campaign. Yep. Before we would usually give incorporate a 3-month trial period within to our campaign so that people can see how we work, because I wouldn't personally sign up to a long thing until I can see what traction we're getting. And, yeah, you know, it's like recruitment. You put your best face forward in the interview, but you really see how the people work once they're in your team.
Definitely. So do it in baby steps, do it in bite sizes, test it out, see, and just go from there.
Yeah. So that's the sort of advice that I would give.
Amazing. Amazing. And obviously you're doing a lot of your work Zoom and virtual now. It hasn't really affected the way you work.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, to be honest, my whole team is working from home and I'm working from the office because, you know, I'm here on my own. So mm-hmm. I've got 3 kids at home and won't get a single thing done there. But yeah, it's actually worked so well. I think a lot of businesses have been found and been surprised by how well it's actually working.
I agree.
And I'm thinking now when we go back to normal, oh, actually, I shouldn't say this in case my team hold me to it. No, I'm not going to say this. But but I just think that it's opening the eyes of a lot of businesses on how well you can work with clients, with your teams. And we're almost more bonded, you know, in this crazy time. And, it's actually proving to be quite eye-opening and wonderful how well it's all working.
I agree. I think it's fascinating. I think it's changing people's behavior, and we'll start to integrate a lot of this new behavior into the way we work after this situation. So I totally agree with you. And we've all found such efficiency and connectivity, and thank God for technology.
Oh, thank God. I was thinking if this happened in the year 2000.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine all the faxes that you'd have to send?
My God. But that was amazing, Monica. I really appreciate all your insight and your expertise and your transparency. So, I think that if anybody's interested in organizing a PR campaign, WordStorm is definitely someone to talk to.
Great, thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to leave?
Yes.
Leave the viewers and the audience with, you know, in terms of PR and whatnot in this time. Yeah.
Thanks for asking. I forgot to mention that I actually have produced the first series of. I had an amazing producer producing a series of a podcast. So I've done series one. It's called Magnify You, and in there I interview 8 top tier journos. So journos from TV programs, from Sydney Morning Herald, news.com.au, Good Weekend, like a really good range of journos. And the interviews are all about what they look for in content and how people can pitch to them. Amazing. So if you want to know this from the horse's mouth, go, you can have a look at the podcast on any of the platforms. I feel like a dental ad. any platforms where you can get your lovely podcast, and just type in Magnify You and mine will come up. And the other thing is, I'd love for people to connect with me on LinkedIn. So my LinkedIn profile is just my name, Monica Rosenfeld. No surprises there. And every Monday morning, I publish a Magnify Monday Moment PR tip. So it's a 2-minute video tip, which just gets your brain thinking proactively about PR and media. As well as trying to put out every bit of content I put out, it's about giving value and helping others demystify this crazy thing we call the media. And then you can also connect with me on my Facebook page, Monica Rosenfeld Magnify You.
Perfect. And can everybody find these links on your website as well?
Yes, they're all on my website. So if you go to the website, you can connect straight to that.
Fantastic. And your link to your podcast as well as on your website?
I have to check that actually.
Something that you must make sure you do.
Yes, good idea. Yeah. so I better get it on there.
Awesome, awesome, fantastic. Well, Monica, thank you again. That was very, very interesting. Great. And media is always a topic that I'm fascinated about, and I could go on for hours. Really appreciate your time. And again, for all the viewers and listeners out there, check out Monica's website, WordStorm PR. Check out her podcast, check out her social media platform and handles, and she's got loads of information and insights for you every day that will help you in your journey with media. So thank you again, Monica.
Thank you. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun, and one day we're going to explore your stand-up comedy as well.
Yes. Well, once I get back on the stages, I'll let you know.
Fantastic. So for everybody out there, thank you again. That was episode 23. And we've got some more coming up very, very soon, but stay tuned.